Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
Here's a mistake and a throw. Puck by Richard. He scores. A taser from Jonathan Toews. His first.
Hello, hockey fans. How are you doing today? It's Talkin' Hockey, the hockey talking show right here on UMFM 101.5 in Winnipeg. It's Monday, 5 o'clock. Unless, of course, you are podcasting or streaming us after the fact. In that case, it's whatever time it is. Welcome to the show. We got a banger for you. It's Season 6, Episode 29. It's an episode we're going to call The Otto. Joel Otto. He was big. He was a centerman. He did it all. Straight out of Elk River, Minnesota. Number 29, Joel Otto. We'll talk about him for sure. We got some other stuff to get to in the show today, including the fan poll. I guess, the 2024 off-season fan poll of the Winnipeg Jets sent out by The Athletic recently. We'll talk about the Jets' new coach, Jeff Arneil?
Scott Arneil.
Scott Arneil. I don't know who it is.
I was going to say it should come as no surprise. And then you're talking about his, cousin Jeff.
Yeah. Later, and then to cap the show off, we're going to continue on with our pack-a-day habit, where we rip open a pack of cards from the junk wax era. It's co-host Tom here with you. I got co-host Jared over there in the other seat. Jared, how are you doing today?
Not so bad.
Having a good weekend, or?
I'd say I'm having an average weekend, Tom. I was out last night with my lady friend. We went to a wedding that was quite nice. It was good. It was good to get out. Threw on the old...
Rumor has it there was a poutine bar that...
Came,
you know. So, I mean, any wedding that features a poutine, like a make-your-own poutine kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Multiple kinds of cheeses and crumbled...
Well, there's only one kind you need, though.
Well, I know, but then...
Curd.
You had the curd, and then you had some shreds.
Nah.
And well,
I won't allow it.
Would you allow chopped up bacon on top of your poutine?
Yeah, I'd allow that.
I definitely allowed that.
Different toppings I'm okay with, but...
Another cheese is a topping you're not okay with?
Well, I suppose you could look at it that way. Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, look, this isn't talking poutine, folks. This is, although I would... talk about poutine for an entire podcast. I would do it. I love it so much, Jared. Anyway, we're here to talk some hockey.
Uh-huh.
And what a show we've got for you today. Number 29, Joel Otto.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a Joel Otto story, and I've got one too. Mine's not really about him. It's about me. I won an award in one of my first seasons as a member of Caress of Steel at our year-end awards. Yeah. And it was called the Joel Otto Award for being a big-bodied right-handed centerman. And I was like, that's me! And so, big fan of Joel Otto, though. Just, mm-hmm. you know, going back to, well, essentially the Flames Cup run of 89, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's kind of when he would have come onto my radar as a youngster, you know, watching that. And, you know, you go through his career stats. Of course, he played with Calgary at the end of his career. He was in Philadelphia for a few years.
Yeah.
He wore number 29 his entire time in the league, which was, you know, 1984 through 98.
Mm-hmm.
So a pretty good stint. So he's a pretty recognizable 29.
I would say.
Yeah. So, before we get into some of his career numbers and everything, let's hear the story that you've got about Joel Otto.
Well, so for listeners out there who don't know, I went to school, university in The U.S. Bemidji State University in Bemidji State, Bemidji, Minnesota, which is about 4.5 hours as the crow flies due south of Winnipeg. And Joel Otto is one of the most decorated graduates of Bemidji State. He captained the Beavers in 1983-84. And led the team to an undefeated record.
Anytime a team goes undefeated, no matter the level, you know, could be Pee Wee, could be pro, whatever.
Yes.
It's impressive. That is impressive.
Yeah. Well, and so he led the team, undefeated record. They went 31-0. They won the D2 National Championship. So that was a time there used to be three divisions in college sports. Now there's only two. And so in 84, he was a finalist for the Hobey Baker Award, which is given to the top collegiate player. He was the first player, first hockey player to ever have his jersey retired. And
by Bemidji State?
By Bemidji State. Yeah. And
I thought, not like ever.
No, no.
In the sport of hockey.
No, no. Come on. Come on, Tom.
Well, I wonder who that was.
That's. We'll get the fact checkers on that. Mm-hmm. In 3 years with the Bemidji State Beavers, 81, 82, 82, 83, 83, 84, he scored over 200 points, which is actually quite a feat because they only play about 30 to 35 games. So, like, he put up some points and... It's just kind of interesting because in the NHL, he wasn't known for his offensive prowess. He was much more of a defensive centerman who was known for being very skilled in the old faceoff dot or at the old faceoff.
So his 22-year-old season at Bemidji State would have been his third year there.
83-84.
Yeah, 75 points in 31 games. Mm-hmm. Very nice production. Then he signed with the Calgary franchise after that. Spent a bit of time in Moncton playing for the Golden Flames. Got the call up to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he started with the big leagues and then was sent down. I don't know. I think it was probably the other way around. Mm-hmm. And he did pretty well. 17 games, enough that, made the team out of training camp the next year.
Well, and it's interesting because you say, like, in his 22-year-old season, he put up 75 points, averaged a goal a game for Bemidji. He wasn't drafted, and so he went door-knocking and contacted all of the teams, presumably, in the NHL, looking for a tie-out or for a tryout. And legendary Flames GM Cliff Fletcher said, well, you can come play for the Moncton Golden Flames. And so he agreed, went and played in Moncton, and had a pretty good year. 63 points in 56 games.
There was an era of AHL in the Maritimes when I was a kid. It was pretty crazy. It's all QMJHL now. And they actually... there's like half the Quebec League is maritime teams now. Mm-hmm. But, back in the 80s and then into the 90s, it died out mid-90s probably. You had several AHL teams, Nova Scotia Voyageurs, which turned into the Halifax Citadels. You had the Cape Breton Oilers. You had the Moncton Flames, Fredericton Canadians. Moncton might have moved to St. John at some point. There was St. John Flames as well. Mm-hmm. There was a number of... I'm probably forgetting some, but it was a good AHL period there, and that Moncton team. I mean, Brett Hall played for that team.
Yeah,
Joel Otto.
Mm-hmm.
Had a bunch of guys. Mike Vernon, I think, even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I interrupted your.
Oh yeah, no. That was it. That was it, man. So you can go if you ever find yourself in Bemidji, Minnesota. I encourage you to go look at two things. First is the statue of Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox, which is pretty awesome. If you like roadside attractions, it's a big statue of a giant lumberjack and his pet blue ox named Babe. And secondly, go to the Bemidji Sports Hall of Fame and go see a Joel Otto plaque. You
You
know, you can go
know
see
what I
the.
like doing? Speaking of roadside attractions and some of that, as a fan of hockey, you know, when I travel to random places, there's always you're like, oh, okay, right on. Oshawa, like I go to Oshawa frequently or whatever. You know, there's a sweet Bobby Orr mural. There's an Eric Lindros. You know what I mean? You go to the rink. There's some plaques and things. Parry Sound, Ontario, pass through there. You're like, oh yeah, this is where Bobby Orr's from. So you go to the local rink to see what kind of things, plaques they have there and whatnot, right? So that's a fun roadside attraction, I think. I don't know. I'm trying to think of well, I mean, your hometown, you got the big Ed Belfour sign.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
well, even where we play hockey right now,
oh,
you
it's the
know,
Jonathan Toews
it's
Leisure
Jonathan.
Center or whatever. It was
Yeah,
big Taves thing. That's right.
the Jonathan Toews Leisure Center. Yeah, no, you walk through the door and you've got a bunch of his memorabilia, jerseys and stuff. It's pretty cool. So Joel Otto, as I said, he was a well-respected defensive centerman. Very good in the face-off dot, and he sort of made his bones because he butted heads with Mark Messier quite a bit during the battle, the old battles for
Yeah.
Alberta. I love this quote. Otto says when speaking of his battles with Mark Messier, "I respected him, but did I like him? I'm sure he's a wonderful man, but well, there wasn't a lot of idle chit chat between us. A few swear words, I guess, but I suppose I owe him my career in a way."
That's a good quote. I
It
like
is a
that.
good quote. Yeah.
And Messier is now on, is it ESPN? He shows up on the panel there sometimes.
Well, who did
And
he replace? Did he replace Gretzky?
yeah, but I think they brought Gretzky back for the playoffs. These guys come and go as they please, I think, right? It's like Rick Bonus appearing on the Hockey Night panel this past week, which was
He's
cool to
quite
see.
good.
And
He's
it
quite
was like,
good.
man, this guy's great. And no wonder everybody loves Bones, right? So,
So Otto, he was kind of a perpetual finalist for the Frank Selke trophy for the
Never
league's
took it
defensive.
home, but yeah, he
No.
was in the top three a couple times and top five a couple times. Let's give you the rundown of his numbers here. So he played 11 years in Calgary, 3 years in Philly for a total of 14 regular seasons in the NHL, 943 games. Couldn't quite get to 1,000, which is a shame. And he totaled 508 points. 195 of those were goals. He was a career plus 65. He had almost 2,000 penalty minutes in his career. That was 1,934. So he wasn't shy, you know, in the
No.
corners. Definitely a different breed of hockey then, when, like, you know, he's seasons where he's getting 160 or 116 penalty minutes. That was like you're a saint back then, right? Like, you're playing like a gentleman out there. But yeah, no, he was
Look at the stats in the playoffs the year they won the cup.
yeah,
Twenty-two
19 points in 22
games,
games.
46 pims. I mean, he was making himself known all over the ice.
Quite a solid career, you know. You think about his college days when he's blazing up the college record books to going pro, and winning a cup, you know, a couple years into his pro career, really. I think he was probably about 5 years in.
And so he also repped the red, white, and blue, played for the US in the World Championships. And was on the 98 Olympic Games team. So,
Nice.
you know, good on you, Joel Otto.
Yeah. From Elk River,
Elk River,
Minnesota.
Minnesota, which is so
It's like
it
a suburb
is
of Minneapolis, basically.
it's closer to St. Cloud. So if you're driving down I-94, it's very close to St. Cloud, Minnesota, which is a couple hours outside the Twin Cities. I know a couple of folks from Elk River, guys I went to high school or to university with. Yeah, big sports town, big football town, and yeah, it's I don't know. I've never been there. I've driven past it.
Let's take a road trip. Well,
There you go.
home of Joel Otto. Wonder if they got a sign.
I bet you they got a sign. I would say, you know. Yeah, and then once he retired, he actually settled in Calgary, and he worked with the Calgary Dinos University program for a few years, and also was an assistant coach for the Calgary Hitmen in the Western Hockey League. So.
So we're going to do something on the fly here.
Yeah, I think I know what you're gonna do.
We're going to play a song because it's
Yeah.
time for a song.
Yeah.
But
I
we're
didn't
going to
even know.
change our plan.
Yeah, we are.
So we're going with the band Belvedere, who's from Edmonton, I think,
They
right?
sure are, yeah.
Yeah, they were around in the late 90s, early thousands, still around in some capacity, I think, these
They
days. They
were in
tour every now and
Winnipeg
then.
last year.
It's for the SOS Fest, maybe.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about Belvedere, folks. So if you are a fan of punk rock or heavy music, you know Belvedere. And, they wrote a song about Joel Otto's career, and it's called 2 Minutes for Looking So Good. So that's what we're going to play on the show right now. We had plans to play something else, but we didn't know this tasty bit of trivia. So thanks to our friends down at Wikipedia
Yeah.
for putting
And
us on to this one.
you didn't know, listener, fair listener, what we were gonna do, so you're none the
Yeah, I
wiser.
ruined the magic of radio. I should have
Well,
just kept it on the DL.
no, we're honest. We're honest guys here. Yeah.
All right. So here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, it's Belvedere with a song called 2 Minutes for Looking So Good. That was Belvedere in their track, 2 Minutes for Looking So Good, written about number 29, Joel Otto. It's all coming together here on Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talking Show. Co-host Tom here with you. Jared, you and I are going to talk about the off-season fan poll for the Winnipeg Jets. But first, let's just bring up the hire of the coach, the new head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, Scott Arneil.
Is this a surprise?
Saw it coming from a mile away, even if I can't remember his first name.
Yeah.
And also, allegedly, they did interview a couple other people, but I don't think it was ever serious. It was probably less of an interview and more of a like, let's just touch base and see where we're all at here.
Yeah.
And the Jets, Chevy, whoever runs the whole system,
Yep.
they knew it was, Scott, we knew it was going to be Scott Arneil the moment he was hired with Rick Bowness back 2 years ago. We knew that Bones had a couple years till he wa was retiring. Well, he's retired, and now it's Scott's turn. So,
No. What are your thoughts? Are you happy with
okay.
this?
So you know what? I'm quite all right with it. Got no problems with it. I will just, here's my thoughts. I am not surprised, but I think it's silly how the general public reaction, and this is just social media, is how it works, but it's
Yep.
been pretty negative. And they're like, oh, Jets, of course they're just gonna hire this guy and blah, whatever. Like, that's just kind of how this organization and this franchise operates.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is, but there's no reason that hiring Scott Arneil isn't a great move, because he's a hockey lifer who knows what he's doing. He's been coaching for years. He's had what, one or two head coaching opportunities. He was the head
One.
coach of Columbus, I think it was. He head coached in the AHL, that's what it was. And
Yes.
so,
Yeah, he was the head
there's
coach of the
been,
Manitoba Moose.
oh, okay,
Yeah.
and somewhere else as well, I believe. But so he's had his opportunities, and so like his history with the Jets organization, he played for Jets 1.0, Manitoba Moose. He's been associate coach, not assistant coach, associate coach of the Jets the last 2 years. I mean, it was going to be Scott's job if he wanted it. They had to talk. They had to kind of, touch base with a few others to see where they were at. Like, apparently they had a Zoom interview with Berube, but after Berube was hired in Toronto, all the stories are that it was like, oh, similarly, everybody knew that's their guy and it was going to work out and blah, blah, blah. Here they are. And here we are in Winnipeg with Arneil. And did you see Mike Commodore's tweet? I'm not on Twitter, but somebody sent this around. And also, like, Mike Commodore, I mean, if you're listening, Mike, sorry to say this about you, you're a kind of a D-bag. And I think that's been known, right? Like, that's well documented. Anyway, he tweeted that Arneil is a loser and a bunch of other nasty things.
So I think this obviously goes back to Mike Commodore's time with Columbus. I don't think that they got along. Although I also, from what I understand, that the deficiencies in Columbus, that generally get attributed to Scott Arneil, could have also been attributed to a lot of other sort of organizational factors that were going on at the time. Like they talked about how I saw people talking about, and let's say in the comment section there were a lot of Columbus Blue Jackets fans who knew there were Columbus Blue Jacket fans out there,
I didn't
right?
know.
But chiming in, talking about this is a bad hire. This guy ran Rick Nash out of town. Rick Nash, conceivably, probably got tired of losing in Columbus
I'm gonna guess that's what it was, an inept franchise that
wanted to leave. I don't know.
well, yeah, he went to New York. I mean,
Yeah. Who wouldn't
who
want
doesn't want to go
it?
play on Broadway?
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I think you're right. Mike Commodore, kind of a D-bag. Yeah.
Yeah,
Every
I mean,
everything
he
I've heard.
also is like, in the pandemic times, he
Yeah.
was tweeting up a storm about, wearing
Yep.
a whatever. We won't
Yep.
go there.
No,
But
let's not.
I do just have one quick correction before we carry on here. In the first segment, I said, who was the first player to have his number retired?
Oh yeah.
Number six, Ace Bailey, retired by the Maple Leafs.
That was the first one ever in the NHL.
Yep.
Wow. That's the kind of information we're bringing you on this show.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah,
Ole
he
Ace.
yeah. Yeah, they retired his number. He's not even the first professional sports player to have a jersey number retired in his honor.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Huh.
Couldn't tell you why.
Well, hard to say. So,
He was that much of a legend, I suppose, is why. I don't know. Yeah.
mm-hmm.
So anyway, Scott Arneil, next head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. I read an article by John Shannon. I mean, to call it an article is a stretch. It was basically a transcription of him talking to somebody. And he was like, the Jets need a finisher for a coach. You know, they're not at a stage of their development where they need, you know, because like there's vacancies in Seattle, there's vacancies in San Jose. So a different kind of coach. Different style, you want to develop player, whatever. The Jets are in this window where they should be competing. We saw that this year, 52 wins. Oh, sure, they bowed out in five in the first round, but what are you going to do? I guess you try to make the team better is what you do. So does Scott Arneil make this team better?
Maybe. Maybe. I can't quite say if he makes the team any better, but I can also say that I can't quite say if he makes the team any worse. And I think what's interesting, the thing that a lot of people are fearful about is that there were a lot of questions about the culture. The culture in and around the room, did the inmates run the asylum when Paul R Maurice was in town? Was Paul Maurice too much of a nice guy? And then, Old Bones comes in and he's an old school guy. And they talked about the culture shift and the change. And all of a sudden, things are falling into place. Guys are falling into line. Also, there were some players that were subtracted.
Yep.
Am I blaming any of them? Maybe, maybe not. But the question is, can Scott Arneil keep the personalities
Yeah.
in line?
Yeah, and
Right?
I think you know what? Here's a hot take. Being an NHL coach isn't so much about X's and O's, it's about managing your team. And it's probably not of a hot take at all, but
No.
here's a tepid take for you.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, by the time a player is pro, they've been playing hockey their whole life. You know, you can't teach them skill necessarily. So, you know, it's like systems. It's like, okay, to win, we're going to employ this system. I guess that's X's and O's, but they know how to do it, right? It's not like you're not reinventing the wheel. But yeah, largely it's managing the different personalities, egos, all that that goes along with it. I think Arneil's basically a disciple of Tocchet, right? So I can't see too much changing, but you know, you get a new boss at work, it's, you know, there's always an adjustment period and stuff.
Sure. Well, and it's interesting too, like you talk about, okay, so he's had one head coaching job. He's had a couple of coaching jobs in the AHL. He's had a lot of assistant coaching jobs where
Yeah.
he's worked under some pretty good people.
That was like Rick Bonus. He was always an assistant, hey, for a long,
Yeah.
long
Well,
time.
and Arneil and Bonus worked together in, I believe it was in Boston. Alain Vigneault, who was long-term coach, he was in Vancouver for a while. He was, I
Yep.
think, most recently
New
with
York.
the Rangers, or I remember him in Philly.
Yep.
He came out and spoke very, very highly of the Arneil hiring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
He's
so
worked with them somewhere along the line, presumably.
yeah, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yep.
So talked about the Athletic. I'm a
Yeah,
big
let's switch
fan of,
gears here and do
yeah.
the.
So I'm a big fan of the Athletic, and I think that we've got a very, very good beat writer here covering the Winnipeg Jets. His name is Murad Ateş, and he's a good guy. I've known him for quite a while. He also came out and played hockey at Apocalypse this year, which was pretty cool.
Right
he's
on.
he's very much an analytics guy. He's big into the newfangled stats and whatnot. Anyways, he put out this 2024 offseason fan poll, and I don't know if we've got enough time to go through all of the questions.
No, let's just start rocking through here. And like, what if I read them and you give me an answer, or vice versa?
Yeah.
I'll read one, you read one, something.
Yeah, and we can kind of pick through this for the next few episodes, because chances are we'll be talking about the Jets.
All right. Okay, well, let's start. Here's
big and
question
broad.
One. Let's start big and broad. In the most general sense, how does it feel to be a Jets fan right now? Devastating, disappointing, but not devastating, neutral, optimistic, but not elated, or as good as it gets?
Right now, I'm going to say it is very much neutral, only because I think there is questions that need to be answered right now. We've talked about the four or five guys that are not under contract for next year. It sounds very much like Brendan Dillon is out the door. He's not coming back. He wanted... Now, whatever, his camp will say all the right things at this point, right? Oh, I wanna be back. The team didn't ever offer me a contract. Didn't contact
me.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know what? There's still time, so it might happen. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't.
It's the same old with the Jets. Until it happens, you never know. Yeah. Unless it's a thing like hiring Scott O'Neill. Everybody knew.
Right, and. And I think that there's some questions surrounding Nikolai Ehlers, whether or not he will be back. Presumably, I think if they make a move, I think that he's the guy who
He's the dangle
because he'll bring back, I think, the best.
He's an attractive
return.
Option for teams who need offense.
Yep.
You know, I really like Nikolai Ehlers, but I think he is a player that you can dangle because of his contract situation, which. What he's got a year left, I think, and it's something like $6 million, which is, digestible for teams who are looking to make a move to maybe add some offense or whatever.
Yep.
I'm not sure who some of those teams could be, but maybe like a Seattle. I think they had a hard time scoring this year.
Seattle
last year.
And Carolina is another one that I hear, although Carolina's got a lot of things that they have to take care of first in-house. Yeah. But Carolina was very interested in him last year. And what's interesting is Carolina's got some defensemen that they could potentially dangle, which I think that's...
Well, depending on the because also Dylan DeMello is a free agent, so are the Jets going to bring him back? So there's going to be some... roster turnover to some degree. It's a shame that it seems like Brendan Dillon is not coming back because he's a fan favorite, but I do get it because he is mid-30s now. I think he's 34, which still has some good years of hockey in him, but he's going to be looking for a contract probably that's like, 4 years long or something.
Well, this is his last opportunity to sign a good deal, right? Yep. And I think that he's going to optimize that.
Well, and he might even, teams who, let's say there's a team in the Final Four right now who gets knocked out and they identify needing that type of defenseman in their lineup.
Yeah.
You know, they might go after a Brendan Dillon pretty aggressively, right?
Well, like, and so what I've read is that the team that just got knocked out by the Edmonton Oilers, the Vancouver Canucks, are very interested in Brendan Dillon, and Brendan Dillon is very interested in them because he is from Surrey.
Sure. Yeah. And they might be losing Zadorov, but they might not. I don't know. There's questions there.
Hard to say.
All right. Well, that's question one. So you're feeling neutral.
I'm feeling neutral. Yeah. Right now.
I can see why this will take a while. So we won't get through all the questions today.
No, we won't.
But you just choose a question now. Like, we'll do them out of order. We'll do them out of order. And, if we get through two or three, whatever, we'll come back and revisit later.
Sure. So my question is, so the Jets finished 23-24, higher than expectations, right? We had 52 wins, 110 points. We saw some growth from some key players, had the fewest goals against in the NHL, and we still lost in the first round. So would you consider this season a success? Not at all. Wake me up when the Jets win a round. Mostly no. I value playoff success, but won't knock the regular season. Mostly yes. I also value playoff success, but I love the regular season, or completely. Winnipeg has come an awfully long way.
So what was this season a success? I would say mostly yes. I value playoff success, and I loved the regular season. I thought 52 wins ain't nothing to sneeze at. They had that great streak of three goals or less, and also concurrently two goals or less.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that was pretty neat. You know, they overperformed to the expectations the sort of general media set out for them at the beginning of the year. A lot of people had them as a bubble team or not making the playoffs. And, you know, they were in the upper echelon of the league the entire season. And, you know, look, they played not great in the playoff round one, and Colorado did. And that is the difference. And they were done in five, you know, and that's the playoffs. That's the way she goes. But yeah, I'm going to say that I feel like, was the season a success? Mostly, yes, I would say.
And so I guess the follow-up on that is this. I know that we want the Jets to win the Stanley Cup. I know that, you know, there's a lot of hyperbole going around, including on this podcast where, you know, like when they were on their heater, we were talking, oh, baby, let's play.
Oh, yeah, we were already down at Portage and Main. We had the barriers pushed over, all that.
Let's be honest. You look at the four teams that are there now, right? You look at your New York Rangers, your Florida Panthers, your Edmonton Oilers, your Dallas Stars. Do you consider Winnipeg to be in the same conversation as those four teams?
Not really, because, I mean, here's the thing, is they can beat any of those teams.
And they did.
But to play a series against them is a whole nother thing. And so I don't think they're quite there yet, you know, because they've shown the last few years, not a bad team, but to play a series, you know, the better team has beat the Colorado, Vegas, you know, those are the last 2 years. Of course, Vegas went on to win the cup, and Colorado got knocked out in the last round there by
Dallas.
Edmonton. Dallas. So, no, I don't think that they are on the, and, you know, a lot of people who are, so I think most Canadians are kind of cheering for the Oilers at this point. But you go online, and again, with the online, I think that you just, the loudest voices are the ones that are, you know, they don't necessarily have anything nice to say. And so, like, they're very anti-Oilers or whatever.
Sure.
So, just because maybe they're Canucks fans or something, right? Or
sure.
But I think, you know, the Jets are close. They're close to the Oilers in a way, but the Oilers have two of the best players in the world, and that is the difference.
Yep.
The Jets, we need to get like a first overall pick. The problem is the Jets are never going to be bad enough to do that.
No.
And so you look at all the teams in the Final Four. Lafreniere is a number one pick in New York. McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, yada yada in Edmonton. Florida, they don't, I don't think they have a number one pick, but they've got, you know, a couple top threes,
top guys,
or whatever.
Yeah. And then Dallas has a whole slew.
Yeah. Sagan was a number 2 pick, wasn't it?
Number two. But then you look at also like guys like Robertson and Johnson and Stankoven. All like
a lot of high first rounders,
a lot of high to mid first rounders who are playing number one picks.
Yeah, here's a hot take for you. Again, probably not a hot take at all. Here's a tepid take for you, Jared. The Jets locally, we like to talk about how they're a draft and develop team.
Yep.
Are they any good at drafting?
Well, I think we're going to see this very, very quickly because Brad Lambert, Chibarov, Barlow, Lucius, McGroarty are all players that they're going to have to cash in on if they're going to extend the current window, right? Yep. And
yeah, because they'll have to start bringing some of those guys on, similar to how Dallas has complemented their veteran core of Ben and Sagan and Dodonov and all these guys, whatever, Suter. Yeah. And, you know, but they've got guys at all positions, you know, Harley and Harley on D is a young fella, and then they've got Stankoven and Johnson
The thing with Winnipeg is we're never going to attract free agents the way that the New York Rangers do or the Florida Panthers do. We have to hit at least on 3 of 5 draft picks, right? Yeah. They have to be contributors.
Looking at the draft picks for the Jets, you know, they do have the lineup
mm-hmm.
full of their own draft picks, but we haven't had,
big game breakers in a while.
Patrick Laine was the biggest, and then, he got traded for Dubois, and Dubois got traded for Vilardi and Ifalo and Kupari and whatever. So,
like, Scheifele, homegrown guy. Connor, homegrown guy. Ehlers, homegrown guy. Hellebuck.
Morrissey. Lowry.
But
the team's full of them.
For the top three, right? The Scheif and Connor and Ehlers. They're all great offensive players. Do I consider them to be like game breakers, right? You need a goal, right? You're down. Are you going to put those guys on the ice and you know that they're going to score, right?
I think Jets fans right now have really high hopes that Rutger McGroarty is that guy.
Yeah.
But now we're a little bit scared because he's like, I'm going back to college. And it's like, why? What? Come get paid. Play pro.
Yeah.
I'm certainly among the fans who are a little hesitant, thinking, he's just waiting it out so that he can go to free agency.
Yeah.
The Minnesota North Stars or whatever. We
gotta
go.
Minnesota North Stars don't even exist.
You know who I mean.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I know who you mean. We gotta go. We can dip back into this though.
We got through 2 questions
throughout the summer. Yeah, we're once again, ambition is job number one here. So what are we gonna play? No Effects. Yeah,
they're coming to town on their final tour ever.
Yeah,
tickets just went on sale this week.
Yeah,
tickets were bought.
Yeah.
So let's go with some No Effects. We're gonna go with one off the So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes album. This is called It's My Job to Keep Punk Rock Elite, right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show.
Rumors blown are true.
right. That was NoFX right here on Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talking Show. Yeah, they're coming to town in August. Everybody's excited. Jared, time to get into our pack-a-day habit
pack
here.
Pack-a-day.
we're opening Opeachy Premier 92 set package here. Mm-hmm. 8 cards in this pack, shiny gold foil. These were no
nice
ordinary
looking cards.
Peachies. These were Premier Peachies. And you know what? So they're from basically my favorite year of hockey cards, whether it's these OPGs, the Pro Sets, the Upper Decks. It's when the players had the 75-year anniversary patch on their jerseys.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
And that's my favorite year of NHL hockey. Mm-hmm. I feel like mustaches and hockey hair were at a peak in that year. Mm-hmm. Jerseys were gorgeous. Goalie gear was amazing. You know, beer commercials on Hockey Night in Canada were just fantastic. Everything was going the right way at that time. The San Jose Sharks had just entered the league. So, you know, their vibes were pristine.
High. Yeah. Yes.
So who do you have in your pack? We're just going to do a couple notable cards from these packs.
So here's the deal. I'm guessing now because of the 75 year thing, there was a subset in this set, Premier 92s spotlighting original 6 teams. Mm-hmm. So fun facts about the original teams. But I'm going to give a shout out. Number one, Dave Barr, like, look at that. Like,
you love
jersey.
Those Devils unis.
Oh my God.
Brendan Shanahan the other day.
So green and so red. Nobody uses that green.
No.
So my sort of top two player cards, Bill Ranford.
Looking
good.
He's focused.
But even better. Look at the lid. Look at the lid on the back. Billy. Yeah. Billy boy. Yeah.
So for the listeners, Bill Ranford, helmet off,
rocking
on the back with a very nice head of hockey hair.
Curly mullet. Pierre Turgeon.
Oh, he was really good.
Pretty good. But I got four of these cards. So I got a Montreal Canadiens, I got 2 Detroit Red Wings, and I got New York Rangers. So this Stevie Y card, I love those.
The stripy
uniforms.
Detroit uniforms. Yeah. Those were good.
Winter Club Seals teammate, Johnny Heim, wore that Yzerman jersey during Apocalypse this year. That was his white.
Oh.
Yeah. And then
I mean that it's a white, but it's so much there's so much red on it that it's like it'd be a bit of
former featured guest episode. Look at Mike Gartner. Look at him. He's focused. He's coming out.
Yeah.
His mustache is looking good.
Yeah, no lid.
And then I got a couple attendees, Patrick Waugh.
Patty Roy, yeah.
And then Timmy Chevalier again with those stripy uniforms.
Jersey, yeah. Montreal, and I remember Toronto kind of had a jersey that era, year as well, that had a lot of stripes on it. Montreal didn't have to change it because their jersey's been the same for, you know, 100-something years. Yeah.
What do you got?
And I think Chicago had a stripe one as well.
Yeah.
If you remember, black and white.
And it was those cream, like a cream color.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Classic. I love that. I got a Mike Gartner as well, but this is his regular card. Like his just,
that,
you know.
He's still got the mustache there.
He's got the mustache. He's just wearing his Cooper helmet there. And it looks
good,
like
Mike.
They're lining up for a face-off possibly.
Sure.
But I got 2 of those original 6 subset cards as well. Both of mine were Montreal Canadian ones. However, they were different Montreal Canadian ones.
Is that Matthew Schneider?
Yes, it is.
Throwing a pass?
Yeah, Matthew Schneider dishing out a breakout pass. And then you got Kirk Muller,
Captain Kirk.
Yeah, just kind of patrolling around.
Yeah.
On the back of one of them is the Montreal Canadiens number one draft choices since inception in 63.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other one is the Canadiens all-time assist leaders. So that's cool thing about these cards is they got some fun facts on them. So, Jared, who would you guess the Canadiens' all-time assist leader is? This is from 92. So, think if anybody's passed him since then. Probably not, but maybe just a
Jean Béliveau.
great guess. He's number two on the list. He's got 712 career assists with the Habs. Number one on the list is Guy Lafleur with 728. So he's only got, 14 more or whatever than or 16 more than Béliveau. So another card I wanted to just highlight is this goalie card, which I want to highlight because it's hilarious. Pat Jablonski.
Blonsky, look at him, look at
I
that
just feel
lid.
like I feel like what a I remember this name, but
Yeah,
like not because he was like any good. So on the back of his card, his career numbers, he's got 12 games played, 700 minutes, 3.6 360 goals against average. So I guess he was just a youngster at this point, but I don't know that he ever kind of went anywhere. But Pat Jablonski, and I mean the gear on him, that helmet cage looks like it's about to fall off.
Yeah, looks like a football helmet.
Yeah, pretty bizarre.
Get out of here, Jablonski, you're finished.
I didn't really get, I mean, I had two San Jose Sharks, so some nice teal,
Oh
but
yeah.
I mean neither player, Kelly
Kelly
Kisio, I kind of
Kissio.
remember. Pat McLeod, I can't say as I remember, but Kelly Kisio, I mean, I think he played for a lot of different teams.
He did.
Had a stop in San Jose. So the back of these cards, it's kind of funny. It doesn't tell you where they're born. It gives you their date of birth. It doesn't say where, which is something that I think you, I feel like a hockey card should tell you that. That's a shame. So that's one mark against OPG Premier's.
Nice looking cards. Nice looking cards.
They are.
Bit of a smaller card too. Maybe if you made him a little bigger, you could have put more stats on the back. Yeah.
Like place of birth.
Place of
Jared,
birth.
it's looks like it's about time to go here for
It
Talking
is
Hockey,
about
the
time to
Hockey
go.
Talking Show.
Yep.
We're gonna go out on a song. I would say that perfectly describes how the weekend was.
Yes.
And that is Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet with their hit song, Having an Average Weekend, right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. Keep your stick on the ice.